Ephesians 4, and we've been in Isaiah for quite a while, and we still have a few as the Lord, as the Lord lead us. I certainly enjoy Sister Rebecca's testimony, Sister Angie. Beautiful, and they're just solid. Rebecca is faithful and work hard, and she and her husband. Glad Edward, glad to, and the convention is coming up. And when we have the convention, we will call on different ones, a few to say something. But you know, you're not going to just drag it out, and you all because you know me, right? Okay. See, so you, short, sweet, and spicy, and not dragged out. But we just want to have it real good. So different one. Everything must be done decently and in order. Every department. So you all begin to work on it. The choir, right? And I know you're trying, but you need to just be a little bit more. Get with it. Every department want to get with it. And this place must be so nice and clean, sparkling, and looking good. Come alive. Everything come alive. Maybe between then we'll clean the chandeliers. Or we believe in miracles. Amen? Yeah. We believe in miracles. Believe that God will do something for us. Amen. And to turn it on? Why? Turn that thing on. Okay, see, so we thank God for all that He is doing for us. And we want to have this convention going real good. All right, so we're going back to tonight to the 40th chapter of the Isaiah, because if you read the old chapter, I'm not going to do that tonight. There are 31 verses in it. It is so beautiful when you read through this old chapter. It tells us where's the verse where look at verse 14. Let me start at verse 14. Speaking about the Lord, the mysteries, the greatness of God. Verse 14 says, in his creation, it says, with whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding. Read on. Says, behold, notice, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon, pay attention, is not sufficient to burn. Nor the beasts thereof sufficient for burnt offering. Now we're heading somewhere. In verse 17. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then? All right, focus now. Are we there? Are you with me? To whom then, let's read it. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare unto him? This question is asking you. Now, after he explains and tells us something about God, his greatness, his awesome power, the very nations are just as a drop in the bucket. And then he says, to whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? Then it goes on. The workman melted a graven image, and the goldsmith spread it over with gold and cast it a silver chain. That's an idol. He's trying to find God. He's trying to make a God of himself, or for himself, something to worship. What comes in his mind, and he's trying to worship. He brings something. He collects some gold or silver and mold a God. But he still didn't find God. He still did not find God. Then verse 19 says, now verse 20 says, but he that is, and this is the most beautiful verse. But you have to focus. You can't just read it and run and grab over it and say, see, there it is now. No, you got to settle down and pray and pray. And ask God to touch your mind and open the eyes of your understanding and begin to say, God, I don't know nothing. Please reveal your secret to me, because God hides things from you, from us. And the secret things belong to the Lord, but those which are revealed belong to us and our children. Amen. So there are things in the Bible that you have to, that God must touch us and reveal it to us. Amen. And it's asking, and what it's dealing with, to whom will you liken God? Right. And if it asks us this question and show the greatness of God, then he has to give us an insight of God, because he asks us, to whom then will you liken God? Amen. So we cannot answer that question, but he can. Yeah. And then the workman goes about trying to answer this question, and he comes up with a graven, molten image. Mm-hmm. And he worshiped that, but that's not a God. Mm-hmm. It doesn't satisfy the longing of his soul. Yeah. Then verse 20, he that is so impoverished, that means he has nothing, he's poor. He has no sacrifice, no oblation. You know that. We've been through that. Said impoverished that he at no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. And we know you can search the Bible, and we're still going to find out some more of it. The trees. All over. You go into the Genesis, the tree of life. Who is the tree of life? It says wisdom is like a tree of life. That's Christ. And the cross, the righteous. You go into, we find if you go into Ezekiel, I don't think I need to go very much in there when he speaks about the trees, give you all kind of, we gave you a scripture from Judges 9 about the trees. Went about to seek a king. And if you look at that back there, the trees, was those were not children of God. Those were corrupt people. They were not children of God because they were looking for something else. Just like this graven image. See, the people that are the trees, which really people, went back on a certain time to seek a king over them. And they went to the vine, they went to the olive and so, and then the father went to the bramble, which has no shade, no shadow. Like verse 19, carving out an image. But those that are so impoverished that have no offering. You and I did not have an offering. It was God that provided the sacrifice. Jesus Christ, the offering. The Bible said in Isaiah 53, when he shall, I think somebody, if you can find that for me, and hold right here. We'll come back to chapter 40, verse 20. But if you go in Isaiah 53, it says that when he shall make his soul an offering for sin. Do you find that verse? Go to verse 10. And it pleased the Lord. Look at verse 10. Let's read. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. That's Jesus. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Because we had no offering. But the offering came from God and the sacrifice. And God made his offering, his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. That's us, the children of God. Okay? He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. See, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Now, the knowledge of God restored in your mind, that is the image of God. When you have the knowledge of God restored that we're talking this morning, the ministry is to restore the image of God in your mind. So he gives to the church apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. See, so Christ, Paul said, little children of whom I travail in pain, isn't it? Until Christ be formed in you. That's the image of God. And you have the eyes of your understanding open. Now, said, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear what? He's the oblation. He's the sacrifice. He bore us. And by his knowledge, he carved us out into the image of God. See, Jesus Christ is the image of God. And we are like him. Now are we the sons of God. He doeth not yet appear. But when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Okay? Verse 12. Said, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he had poured out his soul as a sacrifice unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And made intercession for the transgressors. So did Jesus Christ become our sacrifice? Did Jesus Christ become our oblation? When we have nothing, we were poor. We had nothing to give. So Christ Jesus became our sacrifice. Now go back to Isaiah chapter 40. And he says, to whom then? We were in that verse that we need. To whom then will he liken God? Verse 18. To whom then will he liken God? Or what likeness will he compare him unto? To whom then? And verse 19. The human family begin to try to answer it, just like how the people, the trees, the unbelievers went to the olives and the vine to have a king. They did not choose the Son of God to be king over him. But there was a people that chose the Son of God.
Amen.
Amen. There was a people that want that realized that they're poor and they needed someone to as a sacrifice, to justify them.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So the question is, to whom then will you liken God? Anyone have the answer? Anybody knows? To whom then will you liken God? And let's go to Colossians. Let's go to Colossians and try just a little bit to answer this question in Colossians chapter 1. We go to Colossians chapter 1, and it is a beautiful chapter. I don't know how much time I have here to see where to start, but let me go down a little bit to verse 8. Mm-hmm. Let me go down to verse 8, okay, to get to where I'm going. Says chapter 1, Colossians.
Who
also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. You see, your love in the Spirit was Here was a people in Colossians now begin to take on the image of Christ. Your love in the Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit that restores the image of God. Amen. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. Yes. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to bring that image and to form that image of Christ in us. And the next verse 9. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that he might be filled, there it is again, with the image, the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That is the restored image of God. Amen. In you. Verse 10 says, that he might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good works. And increasing, how do you do that? You grow in grace and in the knowledge. That is that you're growing the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of God. That is you're going from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. Verse 11 says that strengthen with all might. That's the Holy Spirit giving you strength. All might, according to his glorious power. Unto all patience, long suffering with joyfulness. Next verse. Giving thanks unto the Father. Do you understand that? The Father, Jesus as a Father. And there's no dispute. The Son, the Father and the Son does not clash. The Father and the Son does not prove who is greater. Amen. It's man that do that. It's us that try to prove who is greater. Okay? There's no contradiction between the Father and the Son. Okay? I and my Father are one. And there's unity. Jesus obeys the Father. I came to do the will of him that sent me. And the work that he gave me to do, I must finish it. Father, if it is your will. See, Jesus does not resist the will of the Father. So there's no nothing in Christ's life that is contradicting to the will of God. Amen. And what he sees the Father do, that's what he does. And all things that the Father does pleases the Son. And the Father is pleased in the Son. And the Son is pleased with the Father. This is my beloved Son. Christ came out of the Father. He came from the bosom of the Father. Now Jesus is the Word of God. Now, can you separate a person from their words? No. Now, if Jesus is the Word of God, can you separate the Word from the Father? Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. It's talking about Jesus. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things was made by him. And without him, that means without Jesus, there would not be anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shining in darkness. See, when we can begin to understand these scriptures and the depth and to move on, then we might begin to move on to something else. But as to understand the unity and the relationship between the Father and the Son, that is a big stuff. And we don't have to worry about to find out who is greater than who and who created who. And so, we need to find and stay within that confine of the revelation of the Word of God. Amen. And here, because it's not going to make us any wiser. But in go back to Colossians, verse 12, giving thanks. That's what we ought to do. He's showing us what to do. Giving thanks. verse unto the Father, which had made us meet, to be meet, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Did you understand what we give God thanks? That now the inheritance of the saints in light, that means that's a restoration of the knowledge of God in our hearts. True light shining in darkness, and we comprehend it. We can understand it. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of who? What? That's it. Of his dear son. See, do you understand what we are supposed to work on? He delivered us from darkness. Can you explain that? How much and how deep? And what did it take to deliver us from the power of darkness? Tell me. What it took to break us from the fall. And to lift us up out of the first Adam and put us in Christ. Tell me something about that. And when we begin to understand that, then we might move on a little further. But you spend your life trying to find out the depth. Oh, the depth of the knowledge and the wisdom of God. Oh, unsearchable are his ways. And his ways past finding out. So, he said, who had delivered us from the power of darkness? That satanic darkness. If he didn't deliver you, you would not be in church tonight. And had translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. The kingdom of the son is the kingdom of the father. The kingdom of the father is the kingdom of the son. And this is the kingdom that Jesus, at the end of the 1,000 years, will deliver over to the father. Amen. Said, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Do you get the sacrifice now? Do you get the oblation? Do you get what was shed for us on the cross? What you couldn't buy? We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who? Next verse. Who is the image? There it is. Who is the what? Who is the image of the invisible God? Okay, pause a little bit. He is the image. To whom then will you liken God? Okay, now somebody say, no, that's talking about the Father. No, that's talking about the Son. To whom then will you liken God? I'm showing you the only way you can, or being that you can liken Jesus with, the Son of God, is with the Father. Amen. I and my Father are one. To whom then will you liken God? Him. Who is the image? There it is. Of the invisible God. The firstborn of every creature. Now somebody says, see there now. See there now. He was born. All right. If he was born, who was his heavenly mother? Who was his heavenly mother? You're talking about who? The Son of God now. Right? Who was his heavenly mother? Because he does not have an heavenly mother. He has Jesus as a earthly mother. Mary. When he became a man. But he had no earthly father. He has a heavenly father. But no heavenly mother. So explain. Who is this being? Without father. And without mother. Without beginning of days or ending of days. But made like unto the Son of God.
Yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God. What a Savior.
Amen.
What a Savior.
Amen.
He said, no, that's talking about the Father, so you leave the Son out. Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. Now what you've got to understand also is that the first creation fails. We've had those lessons. Even the first heaven and the first earth will pass away. The first man, Adam, failed. And all of that will pass away. But God began a new creation in Christ, where Christ is the head of that new creation. And that new creation was born from the dead. When Christ rose from the dead, that began a new creation.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that's why we have to go through death and the resurrection. Even if you didn't die, you have to be changed. But Christ became the first fruit of them that slept. Because God began a new creation, and that new creation started on Pentecost.
Amen.
When the Holy Ghost came, he brought the image of God.
Hallelujah.
The Holy Ghost came to restore the image of God in you. He will be with you, in you, and dwell in you. Amen. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. So Jesus Christ is the head of that new creation. But that new creation was born, amen, by the resurrection. Through the resurrection. He became the firstborn. That's from the dead. He lived and died and rose never to die anymore. He became the first fruits of them that slept. He's the representative head of the new creation. Amen. Now, next verse says, "For by him, all right, were all things created." That's Jesus. If he created all things was created by him. That are in heaven. And that are in earth. Somebody says, see there, all things were, was created by, but he was created. No, but he tells you both heaven and earth. All things. Anything you can think about was created by him. That are in heaven and that are in earth. All visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominion or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. You see, the Father turned over creation to the Son to create, and these the Father gave creation as a gift to the Son.
Amen.
That's how much he loved his Son. And he gave creation as a gift. You and I, we're a gift.
Amen.
Given to Jesus Christ. You are a gift. You, and you're not your own, but you were bought with a price. Hallelujah. I like this. All things were created by him. And underline that. For him. You know, you hear preachers jumping all over and say everything belongs to you. No, no. Everything belongs to Christ. But because his love for us, he made us heirs and joint heirs together with him.
Amen.
17 says, And he is, oh, no, you know what is there? He is before all things. And by him all things consist. That's powerful. He's before all things, and by him all things consist. And this is powerful. You're going to shout. And he is the head of the body. Ah, you see, the body, that's the church. Because when Adam and Eve sin and fall, God began a new creation. Okay? And that really was born at Pentecost. That creation. So that's the body. Upon this rock will I build my church. He's the head. It's a new creation. Include Jews and Gentiles. And we're one in Christ. But he is the head of the body. The church, who is the beginning,
the firstborn
All right. There was a beginning, and that beginning failed. But there's another beginning that started on Pentecost that will never fail. Who is the beginning? The firstborn from the what? Dead. He came, I'm he that was dead. Somebody ought to shout. But I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of death and hell. This is awesome. I tell you, I don't see how you can't shout for this one. Ooh, let's go over it again. And he is the head of the body, the church. Who is the beginning? The firstborn from the dead. That in all things he might what? He might have the preeminence. All things. Now, what does that word preeminence mean? Somebody give me. Look in your. Huh? Means? Excellency? Give me some word. Preeminence. He's the firstborn. The firstborn of everything. Okay? He has the preeminence. Amen. Now, what are we answering the question? To whom then will you liken God? And I'm showing you. Do you see I'm showing you? That in all things, he's to have the preeminence. He's the firstborn. The head of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he is to have what? I still need some more word.
Superiority.
Superiority.
Yeah.
Okay, and?
Perfection.
Excellence. Right. See, God gave it to him. God gave it to him.
Amen.
That in all things, he might have the preeminence. So how are you going to solve the relationship with the Father and the Son when it's tangled up? They're all one. You know, it's like, I use just a simple thing. I'm a simple man, so I use a simple thing. You get about, help me, you get about five potatoes, right? And boil them. And then you mash them. And then you try to separate them. I and my Father are one. Try to separate that. Try to explain that. You would be easier explaining a mashed potato and putting that back together than to try to explain the garden. Amen. Then Philippians 2:5 says, look at Philippians 2:5 says, Philippians 2 verse 5 says, read.
Philippians, who being in the form of God.
Who being in the form of God. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but
made himself
of no reputation and
took upon him
the form of a servant and
was made in the likeness of man.
He was made in the likeness of man. And being in
the fashion
of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Amen. Wherefore God had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. You know the name that he has? The name that he has is the Father's name. He has the name of the Father. Hallelujah.
That
at the name of Jesus every knee should bow.
Of things in heaven.
And things in earth.
And things under the earth.
So there is no war between the Father and the Son. And nobody can solve that. Nobody. He said, but I can. Nobody can. And you pick out a scripture here. They said, there it is. There's what? Then I tell you to go count the stars. broke out the sand on the seashore.
Amen.
Could you count the sand on the seashore?
No.
No more than you can tell us and explain to perfection the mystery of the, it's called the mystery of the Godhead.
Amen.
And it's not, you know, and people get strung up over whether there's one, two, or three. I don't worry about that. All I know is that I have a God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And God has a son. And he gave his son as a substitute for my sins.
Hallelujah.
And I've got the Holy Ghost. What more do I need? I have Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, I have other things. What I'm called to be is, oh, that I might know him. Like Paul. And the power of his resurrection. I want to know Jesus. Praise God. And the Bible said, whom to know is life. And one of the disciples said, we want to see the Father. He said, have I been so long with you? And have thou not known me? Was it Philip? He that have seen me have seen the Father also. Because they're one. There's a Father, there's a Son. But they're one. And then I don't get hung up whether the Holy Spirit is a being or not. All I know is that I speak in tongues more than you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's all I worry about, that I speak in tongues. I got the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. I've got the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
And fire. Jeremiah, it was like fire shut up in his bones. I want that fire tonight. I want to see a church that have that fire. The Holy Ghost fire shut up in your bones. Because you can talk about whether it's whether the Holy Spirit is a being or not. Or whether there's one, two, or three in the Godhead. And you're as dead and dry as anything else.
Praise Jesus.
Amen. To whom then will you liken God?
Amen.
Who? See, you go back in the past and people always fight. They fought about the Godhead. They fought about water baptism. They thought about all kind of stuff and ready to get us. We're dead and cold and dry. And you go in the churches, a lot of churches are so dead. The people don't know nothing. But if you begin to get back the Bible and preach Jesus, you find out what happened. When that woman came and she had a sick, she said, sir, we would see Jesus. Was it the centurion said, you don't have to come under my roof, just speak the word. And my servant will be healed. And we need to have the word. We need to speak the word and get back to the word. Well, I just solved the mystery of the Godhead, but look how dead you are. But I want to know that when I get down on my face before God, he's there. Hallelujah. I want to feel him in the midnight hour, like our sister Rebecca was saying, when pain begin to rock you and everybody is gone, who do you call on?
Amen.
When you're sick in the midnight hour, you're not worrying about whether there's three, four, or two, or one in the Godhead. Or you call upon him and say, Lord, heal me, I love you. Now, what else? Verse 18, was it there? That in all things he might have the preeminence. That's the clue. That's it. That's why God created everything for his son.
For
look at this here now. For it pleased the Father. All right, now. Listen, if it pleased the Father, if God the Father is pleased, why should I be upset? Well, why should I be upset who's greater or who's above who? Why should I be upset whether who was first? God is pleased. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. For it pleased the Father, and it also pleases me. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Why don't you rest there? Stay there. It pleased the Father. Stay where God is happy. Because whether you find out who was first and who creates what, or was Jesus was created by the Father or whatever, when was he created? You know, some even believe one time it was an angel that got promoted. There's a lot of confusion. But you stay to what pleases the Father. It pleased the Father to make him and give him the preeminence of all things. And it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. That's the fullness of the Godhead. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge is in Christ. And we are complete in him. For it pleased the Father. Right. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself by him. I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime, notice, alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now at he reconciled. Look what he did for you. We were enemies, and look what he done for us. That's what we are to glory in. When my mind was at enmity, I didn't know nothing. I was a vile Gentiles and in darkness, and he brought me out of the darkness. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My concern is that God send his Son to deliver me. Now I was a sinner, but now I'm born again. Amen. And you said reconciled in the body of his flesh through the death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. To whom then will you liken God? Yes. To whom will you compare him? Yes. Is that all? If all right, notice, if there's a if right there, stop warring and arguing before you take on a bad spirit and get confused. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister. Now, who now? Rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Amen. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God. The what? The... Are you going to separate it when we are in the dispensation of God? You see, we don't pay attention to words. Which, whereof I am made a minister according to what? The dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill what? The word of God. That's my work. That's my job. Even... See, there it is. The mystery which had been hid from ages. We deal with a lot of mysteries. And from generation, but now is made manifest to his saints. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is the glory? What is it? Which is? Shout. Which is? Christ in you. the hope of glory. And so why should I get so much concern about the Father and the Son's relationship? Who was first? Who created? What was the Son created? That's not going to save me, because there's no salvation without Jesus. But here's what's going to save me. When God make known unto me through Christ the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in me, Christ in you. Shout the hope of glory. To whom God, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all what? Wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Last verse. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. To whom then will you liken God? Who? Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise. Give the Lord a praise. Somebody ought to shout. Somebody ought to praise God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. All right. Give the Lord another praise.